Good morning, Fairhaven family. Good to be here. I want to say a special good morning to my son, Ben, who's watching this on stream. Good morning, Ben. I love you. Good to have you with us. I kind of feel sorry for all of you. It feels good not to have a mask on my face. Get to breathe. You know, it's interesting, if you were to ask a four-year-old child who wanted to go to kindergarten, you say, how old are you? And you might hear, I'm 4 1/2, or I'm 4 3/4. Now, when you get to my age, this changes. I'm no longer 76 3/4. I just in my 70s. And we kind of round it off to the lowest denominator, you know? But I can say in my 49 1/2 years, as a Christian, things have changed. And I don't know if it's just me, but I think the world is getting crazier and crazier. Maybe it's just me. I don't know. And I think I'm just as confused as some of you are. I just don't understand all this unrest and all this upheaval and anger. But I thank God, because in His Word, He tells us in several places to expect this in the last days. The problems are much more serious than political, much more serious than racial. They're more serious than economic equality. The problem is spiritual. There's just this lack of fear, lack of reverence, lack of respect for God. I think that's a problem. You see, He's the one who created everything seen and unseen. There's this disrespect for the one who has given every one of us life and breath. And that's the problem. So 2 Timothy 3:1 comes to mind. Verse 1, it says that, but realize this, in the last days, difficult times will come. So in chapter 3, to chapter 4, verse 5, which is kind of unclear up there, Paul explains the reasons why. So I titled the message, Signs of the Times. Well, I know what you're thinking. That's a lot of verses. And this is going to be a long sermon. Well, I have good news for you. It's going to be, I'm going to preach in over 2 weeks. So today will be Paul's warnings, and then next Sunday will be Paul's example. So I plan on preaching till noon, which is about a half hour, and then I will let you escape. And then you could have roast preacher for lunch if you like. And then next week I will resume, and again I will try to let you escape by noon so you could have a better lunch, hopefully. Now, Paul wrote 2 Timothy in 67 A.D. He was in a prison, and he was on death row. This is Paul's last letter, because, you see, he was executed shortly after this. You know, his enemies thought they were going to shut him up when they killed him, but the exact opposite happened, didn't it? You see, Paul still speaks to us through his letters. Generation after generation. And Paul was concerned about the future of the church. You see, this is the point of my message. The church is supposed to be a sanctuary, a place of refuge from the world, a place where men could live in peace and harmony, a place where men could please God. And Paul didn't want the world to infect the church. Let me listen as I read Hebrews 10:24-25. It says, let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And let us not neglect our meeting together, as some do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of His returning is near. We're supposed to be here. This is good for us. We are to meet once a week And I say to reset, do a reset. We're out in the world, we're involved in all this craziness. We need to come back once a week and have a reset. And you know, there's nothing better for me anyway that to come here at 9:30 in the morning, Sunday mornings, and worship the Lord Jesus Christ around his table, and having fellowship with each other, and singing praises to the Lord, and then at 11 o'clock or 11:30, hear a message from the Word of God, and then afterwards more fellowship. That does it for me. That helps me get back in shape spiritually. So 2 Timothy 3:1 says, again, realize this, that in the last days, difficult times will come. Now, the last days are also spoken of in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 2. It says, in these last days, he, meaning the Father, has spoken to us through his Son, Jesus Christ. So the last days includes the church age from the time of Jesus until the rapture. That's the last days. Now, we don't know how soon the rapture will occur, but we're to live like it could happen any moment. We don't know. But it's like these are the last days. Be ready. And this is, although difficult times will come, the church is not going to fail. Because Jesus said that I will build my church and the gates of Hades will not overpower it. The church will always be here because Jesus said it would. The universal church would not fail. Not so the local churches. They have failed throughout history. I think that's why Paul wrote this letter. He knew the churches were going to come under attack, especially after he died. So he wanted to warn the churches through Timothy about what he calls these men. So if I can encapsulate verses 2 through 5 of 2 Timothy. First has the phrase, these men, and 5 has, avoid such men as these. So everything in between these verses describes this destructive behavior of men. And he wants us to be aware of that and not allow this in the church. When we say men, the word means mankind, humankind. It means, when you read this word men, it means men and women. Because both have very destructive influences in the world, men and women. I think today these men are gaining more and more influence in the world. And you'll see why when I define some of these things he's talking about. So Paul writes, avoid such men as these. But wait a minute. Paul doesn't sound very politically correct, does he? Isn't he being kind of exclusive? Is it because Jesus said, not everyone will enter the kingdom of heaven? Sound like some are going to be excluded to me. Well, I know this, everyone is invited. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. The problem is that many choose what Jesus says, the broad gate, the broad way that leads to destruction. They make a choice. He says, few find the narrow gate that leads to life. So there's this offer for everyone, but everyone has a choice. Let me ask you, how many think Jesus or Paul would be politically correct today? I don't see any hands raised up. And you know what? We who believe in the Word of God, we who follow it and preach it and live by it, we're not politically correct either, are we? I think we're told so many times. So am I the only one who believes that we're living in an increasingly godless society? Is it just me? So the Bible says the world is going to change, but the church is to remain a sanctuary. No matter what's going on in the world, we're different. We're God's people. Many of the things that Paul writes about in this portion of Scripture, we have been saved from. Many of the things that he says we used to do, but we're saved from that. And I believe some will come to know Jesus because some of the things he says, they'll realize how foolish it is, and they will turn and receive the Lord. So, if you will, follow along with me in the Bible to 2 Timothy 3, verses 2 through 5. And these are some words that I'm going to look into. It says, "For men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding a form to godliness, although they have denied its power, and avoid such men as these." You see, Paul gives 19 reasons, I think, that society is destroying itself in these last days. And I think as you follow along, you can see some of these things. Well, I've divided them into four categories. One is that those who have a distorted view of love, that's those who have the love themselves, that love money, and that love pleasure rather than God. My second category is those who ruin relationships. They're boastful, they're arrogant, they're unloving, they're irreconcilable, they're malicious gossips, and they're conceited. My third category is those who destroy family structure, those who are disobedient to parents, and the ungrateful. And then the fourth category is those with antisocial behavior. They're revilers or unholy. They're without self-control. They're brutal. They're haters of good. They're treacherous, and they're reckless. These men will destroy not only the society. If they come into the church, they will destroy the church. And Paul is concerned about that. So let's look at lovers of self. Pardon me, my throat's a little bit dry this morning. Lovers of self. This is a distorted view because we are to love God with all our heart, all our soul, all our strength, and our mind, and our neighbor as ourselves, right? What would this church look like if every one of us loved ourselves only? And no one else mattered. And your concerns didn't matter because we love ourselves. I wouldn't want to be here. If a husband loves himself, a wife loves herself, what is going to happen to that marriage? It's doomed. As I was looking at this passage, three things stood out to me about those who are in love with themselves. Number one is they want to be the center of attention. Life just revolves around them. And secondly, they're very sensitive. They are easily offended. They are defensive. And they do not like to be corrected. Because they have this beautiful image of themselves, this perfect image of themselves. And the third thing is they're not interested in another person's perspective or their point of view. Because they love themselves. Jesus said, "Let us love one another as what? I have loved you. That's what we're supposed to be doing. Lovers of money. There are people who think that money is everything, that it is the how you solve all your problems. You just got to have more money. I think our government is famous for throwing money at problems. Your money, actually. Maybe if there was more of a fear of God, we wouldn't have the problems in the first place. Jesus said in Matthew 6:24, no one can serve two masters. He will either hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. So basically, I think that those who love money will do anything to get more of it. And they'll do anything to keep what they have for themselves. They love money. I don't think they just have this dollar bills floating around them, but the power, that the things they can buy, they love that. That's what they want. And they're the ones who take advantage of the weak women in verse 6. And they're the ones who befriend the widows and help themselves to their bank account. And they're the church leaders who live in mansions, who drive the exotic cars, who fly around in their private jets. They love the money. You know, the world hasn't seen anything like them since the beginning of the church. And it makes me think that the end times are coming, the last days. There's lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. It sounds like self-pleasure is their priority in life. It's not God. It's what can I do to have pleasure for myself. It's what people spend time doing. It's what people spend the money on. That's their pleasure. You see, it's distorted because things will never bring satisfaction. They never will. Because there's always going to be something bigger. Always something better. Always something newer. Always something more expensive. You fill in the blank. A house, a car, a boat, or whatever. But with God, there is nothing bigger. With God, there is nothing better. Amen? My second category are those who ruin relationships. And again, they're the arrogant, the boastful, arrogant, unloving, irreconcilable, the malicious gossips, the conceited. We're to avoid people who boast. Someone said that's ugly when people boast. You see, boastful people are very insensitive. They don't consider the less fortunate in the church. Those who boast about their affluence, their money, or their bank account. There are others in the church just scraping by. They boast about their big roomy house and all they have. And there's others just struggling to pay rent in their little apartment. They boast of their angelic child who is an honor student, who knows three languages, can play four instruments. And you have this child you can't even control. You see, boasting can be so discouraging. It's thoughtless. So avoid people who boast. Avoid the arrogant. It's just people who have this exaggerated sense of their importance. They see themselves as superior. And they look down on other people. We don't need that in the church. And they can be overbearing. They're the ones that demand their way. They're the ones that, it's me before you, me before others. It's all about what they want. They want demanding the best for themselves. To Christians, everyone is important. Even the little widow who gave the 2 cents in the offering. Jesus thought she was very important. Avoid the unloving. It's an interesting word. Unloving really means without natural affection. Without natural affection. You see, it's natural for parents to love their children. That's natural, isn't it? That's natural. Let me ask, do children thrive on love? The love of their mother and father, do they thrive on that, do you think? But many children's lives are ruined because of unloving mothers and fathers. Many children, I think today, are seen as a nuisance, as bothersome to their parents. The parents have this busy life. They want to do their own thing. And the children, well, we'll park them in front of the television or we'll send them off somewhere. And the children are hungry for love. And I also believe that you and I, brothers and sisters in Christ, there should be a natural love for each one of us in this body. A natural love. And then avoid the irreconcilable. It's an interesting word. It means truce breakers. People who break truces. It sounds like at times two people were good friends, had a good relationship. Maybe it was a marriage. Maybe it was just family members or longtime friends. Now they're irreconcilable. They'll have nothing to do with one another, no matter what you say. I don't think the church needs unforgiving people. We need to be people who want to be reconciled. Jesus reconciled us to his Father, and we need to be reconciled to one another. Avoid malicious gossips. Malicious gossip is one word. It's called diablos. What do you think that means? Devil. Because you see, the devil is a slanderer. He's very malicious. He is hateful. And he's in the business of destroying lives. And you know what? Gossips are his agents. They are his human instruments. And these last days, he has equipped them with a very powerful tool. It's called social media. Have you ever seen anything like that? My third category, those who destroy family structure. The disobedient to parents. Rebelling against parents is really a breakdown of authority. This authority is established by God. I think respect for authority is to be learned at home. Children should be raised respecting authority in a family unit. I think that the people who grow up disobedient to parents are also going to be disobedient to anyone in authority, because that's just the way they are. They've never been corrected. I know when I was in primary school, we respected the teachers, and we certainly respected the police, and we were to respect all the adults. That's just the way it was. There was no question about it. That's just the way it was. And our parents expected us to act this way, because I think that's just the way they were raised. This is just what you did. Recently, I read a quote from a teacher. The teacher said, "Teachers are afraid of principals. Principals are afraid of the superintendent. The superintendent's afraid of the school board. The school board is afraid of the parents. The parents are afraid of the children. And the children are afraid of nobody." Interesting, isn't it? Things have changed. Avoid the ungrateful. This always sounds like entitlement to me. It's like my parents owe me. They just owe me. And then they get into adult life and society owes me and they're ungrateful. Because you see, ungrateful people are never satisfied. They're just never satisfied. They're not grateful for what they have. This reminds me of a quote I heard a long time ago about Marie Antoinette. I don't know if you know who she is, but she said that nothing tastes. She was given everything. She never worked. She was spoiled to the max. And she was absolutely ungrateful. She came to a point in her life where nothing mattered, nothing worked, nothing was good. She's just totally ungrateful. And I think it's so refreshing to be around little children who seem to appreciate every little thing you give them. They're just so happy with it. Isn't that good? I love that. And maybe they'd be a good example for us big people, being grateful. So my fourth and final category is avoid those with antisocial behavior. Avoid revilers. And that's people who speak evil, who insult and criticize other people. Avoid them. Because you see, the church cannot bear up under this, no matter how subtle it is. You see, we're not politicians. We don't demean one another or disgrace one another. We look for the good in others. So we want to speak kindly to people. We want to encourage people and build up the lives of others. And then avoid the unholy. One commenter said, these are the people who try to influence us against God. Try to influence us against God. They're unholy in their conversations. They use this crude language. And it's catching. I don't know if you ever worked around crude people, but if you do all day long, it's catching. And you hang around them, and all of a sudden you're going to sound like them. People who are unholy in their behavior. Romans 1:24 says, therefore God gave them over to the lust of their hearts to impurity, so that their bodies would be dishonored among them, unholy. And then the warning from 1 Corinthians 15 says, do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. And the next one is very important too, is avoid people who lack self-control. You know, the King James uses the word incontinent. People who cannot control themselves. I think there's one area that really will destroy a church, and that's people who do not have self-control over their sexual appetites. That'll ruin a church. But it's rampant in society, isn't it? And you see little girls and women and boys and children, you see them victimized by this. It's not happening here. We need this church to be a safe place for people, especially the weak. Avoid people who lack self-control. There's more I could say about all these things, but these things just struck me as important right now. Avoid men who are brutal. I think not only physically, but people who act like bullies, who verbally abuse other people, avoid them. It's interesting to me. I've seen some news clips, and in these last days, women can be more brutal than men. It's amazing. I've seen women get in the face of policemen and just cuss them out. Just demean them, scream at them. And in a language I didn't think I could even, was even possible. But you and I, we're called to have a gentle spirit, aren't we? To treat one another with respect. Avoid haters of good. Now, these people are not indifferent. They hate good. And therefore, they hate God. I think that our country, the United States, was founded by godly forefathers who really, when you read history, they love God and they left a godly inheritance for us. You can see that in some of the statues, some of the writings on the walls, like in courts and schools, there's Bible verses. And they want those things torn down. And you know they're having their way. They're having their way. And they're removing God from church, God from schools, aren't they? And they're indoctrinating children into things that are going to ruin their lives. That's these last days. I think Isaiah 5:20 sums it up for me. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who substitute darkness for light and light for darkness. Woe to them. Avoid the treacherous. And that's just people who they gain your trust, you talk to them, you think they're your friend, and they betray you. If you know who they are, if you see them betray other people, you need to avoid them. Because I believe, brothers and sisters in Christ, we are to listen to one another. Hold confidence. Someone tells me something, it stays with me. I don't tell anybody else. That's what we're supposed to be doing, I believe. We never betray. Avoid the reckless. That word's interesting. It means falling forward headlong. It's kind of like out of control. Like they're going to fall down, face forward. It seems like they don't care about consequences. They just do things and don't think ahead of time. It sounds like they just live for the thrill of the moment. Avoid the thoughtless. They have no consideration for the needs of others. And the conceited, the people who are puffed up and self-important. Paul said, avoid men like this. They will destroy the sanctity of the church in our lives. In verse 5, he says, holding to a form of godliness, although they have denied his power, avoid such men as these. I say they have no personal relationship with Jesus Christ. They are not indwelt by the Holy Spirit. They're what Jesus called the hirelings. The hirelings. They're in it for personal gain. They are there to fleece the sheep. That's what they're all about. But they like to feel important. They like to lord it over people. Avoid such men as these. In verse 6 and 7, from among them are those who enter households which, I'm sorry, among them are those who enter into households and captivate weak women, weighed down with sins, led on by various impulses, always learning and never able to come to knowledge of truth. These are the men who take advantage of women, who captivate them. There are women who are just weighed down with sin, and these men play on their guilt. These are women who are led by various impulses. They're gullible. They'll just listen to anyone. And they're immature. It says that they're always learning, never coming to the knowledge of truth. It sounds like they're living in a state of confusion, always reading the Bible, always trying to learn, and never coming to a conclusion about what's right and wrong. Verses 8 and 9. It says, just as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses, so these men also oppose the truth. Men of depraved minds, rejected as regards the faith, but they will not make further progress, for the folly will be obvious to all, also to those who came to be, as those came to be. These two guys were magicians in Pharaoh's court, and Pharaoh hired them, and they were actually empowered by Satan, and God would have Aaron do a miracle, and they would duplicate it. And they were able to do that. But Pharaoh was like these women. He listened to the magicians. He listened to the sorcerers rather than the man set by God. And I think it's the same way today. These men are able to put spells on weak women and who really never understand God's forgiveness and never understand the Word of God. The women who are driven by their feelings, they captivate women like that. Well, my message ends because it's noon. Today's message was about these men. Next week, Paul. What about Paul? Why would Paul Timothy to avoid these men and follow him? The answer is because he's authentic. He's the real deal. These men expose themselves by what they say and do. And he's telling Timothy, you follow after me. So we'll get into that next week. You know, I pray that those who visit Fairhaven will see this church as a sanctuary, a safe place, a peaceful place, a place where Jesus Christ is highly honored, respected, and talked about in a great way. And also I pray that your house, where you live, will be a sanctuary from the world. It will be peaceful. And it will be a place where Jesus Christ is honored. Let's pray. Father, I am just as confused as anyone about this ungodly things that I see in the world. And they trouble my soul. But I am so thankful that you told us ahead of time to expect them. That they would increase during the last days. And this is our hope, that these are the last days. And you're going to come and you're going to rescue us and save us from all this. So I thank you for men like Paul and others through history who have keep reminding us just to stay on track with you and not fall for the wisdom of the world. Help us to remain faithful as we look forward to being with you forever. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a good lunch.